Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 said, "And God said, let us make man in our image," which is, we know to be that Trinity, that relationship of the entire Godhead is the word the King James uses for the in the writings of Paul and I think in John. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all moving in their creative power and the divine aspects of each one of them, bringing forth this man in our likeness, in our image. And so it's one thing to have the image of something, but it's another thing. So we can create a statue that's in our image, but it is doesn't carry the attributes because it's not a living thing. So it's one thing for us to be created in the image of God, the corporalness of it, which we are. The word says we're spirit, soul, and body. So we are a triune being, but we are a singular expression. And so God has, in Genesis, created man in his image, and then his purposes was to pour himself and to produce his character, nature, and likeness within the image that he has created. So the depth of our understanding of what righteousness is will determine not only our relationship with God, but it'll determine our relationship with one another. And so the things that struck me, of course, I'm going to quote the same scripture, righteousness and judgment. It's a little different translation, same thing. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. It is where God lives, is in the atmosphere of righteousness and judgment. And so there's these basic elements of the gospel, and I was spending quite a bit of time this morning before the Lord as to do we begin with what is love or what is righteousness. And I realized that there is no ability to conceptualize what love is without a true understanding of what righteousness is. So John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So love is the pure motivation of God. It is the thing from which all of his interactions with man are moved from. God was moved by the power of love, but that love was motivated to bring man to righteousness. Righteousness is the end and the purpose of God. So love is God's motive. Righteousness is his end. And when we begin to comprehend that, then we begin to step into the place of realizing that in our relationship with the body of Christ, love is the motive, love is the thing that presses us within to minister the portion we have to one another, to the end that the body of Christ becomes a pure expression of righteousness. So the righteousness of faith. Faith is the means, it is the conduit through which God's love pours into us. Faith is the divine enablement of me to respond to God. So Paul says in one place that they preach to the nations. What do they preach? They preach the obedience of faith. Faith is revealed in my response, my divine enablement to obey his communications to me. His ability to pour himself into me is ever through the conduit of faith. So as we drink in his wonder, as he pours himself into us, which his ability to pour into us is limited to the development of our faith. So faith is ever presented to us as a living dynamic that grows and grows and grows. So, you know, it's like a child. They respond to us. And as they get older, the corrections become a little more intense. The ability to communicate what we're after in our children develops as they develop. And so, you know, the writer of Hebrews says, I can't tell you about Melchizedek. I can't tell you about the deeper truths of God, seeing you have become as children again and have need to be taught the first principles. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, by the Holy Spirit, I got to go back to the initial principles to be able to rebuild into you the purposes of God. And so there's a withholding of the deeper truths of God because of their apathy and their comfortableness in their current condition. So righteousness is, when you look it up in the Greek, I got all of these Greek definitions, but they all come down to the one thing. In a broad sense, this is Thayer, it is the state of him who is as he ought to be. Righteousness, the condition acceptable to God. So God has until we see that the righteousness of faith is the means by which God can pour himself into us and bring us to be what we're called to be. So this righteousness is an all-inclusive state. You know, when God's revealed himself, one of the first things he revealed himself as was, I am that I am. So that the reason God is pure righteousness is he's fully within his being. He is something. He's the personification of righteousness. It's more than just sinlessness. It's more than just, you know, there's people who pursue holiness, and in their pursuit of holiness, they become proud. Well, that is so foreign to what righteousness is. Righteousness is the center and core of all that you have become in Christ. And there's degrees of righteousness. A four-year-old child can be a perfect child. I don't expect my four-year-old to go out and, you know, drive the car and do something for me. He's not capable of that. So when God looks down upon us, he sees us as we are. He sees what he's called us to be, but he sees in our development, in our responding to his faith, he takes joy in that. And there is the fatherhood of God that is enjoying your journey. He enjoys when you repent or when I repent. He enjoys when the light goes on and we go, oh, I never saw this before. And that seeing changes how we interact with others. And so the Father has the ability, you know, we got all these deep teachings, predestined us. You know, God is looking down and seeing us 1,000 years from now. Well, God, he's ever in the moment. He takes joy in every thought that flashes through your mind that is a reflection of his nature, his character. And anytime you're moved by love, you have blessed God. And so God's righteousness is being worked into us by his motive of love through the gift of faith. So, but what does this righteousness entail? Well, the scripture says that he's given gifts of the Spirit to every one of us. Not my word, his word. So the gifts of the Spirit are given in Christ, and that's part of our righteousness, is to develop the gifts of his Spirit in us. Why? Because those gifts enable us to divinely minister different aspects of God to one another. Whether it's the prophetic, whether it's the gift of tongues, whether... And so, one guy's translation of the Greek word righteousness used means right wiseness. It means that I am becoming all that God has purposed me to be. So when he came into my room that night, and when he met each one of you in that personal way, whether it's a gentle unfolding, whether it's a cataclysmic encounter with God, we were all in different stages of lostness, and he's calling each one of us from darkness into light. And but in his inworkings and outworkings in our life, he has a personal goal for each one of us. Paul says that I may apprehend that for which God apprehended me. And so in the unveiling of what righteousness is, the true concept of the Father, we got to hold the Father in regards to our relationship, because it's in him that we are born unto him. And he has purposed a specific expression for each one of us. And it is in that comprehension of that aspect of righteousness that brings us to the place of going, I better pay attention to God personally. I better be standing on my watchtower, beholding him, seeking him, pursuing him, because he has a purpose for me. And in my own development, you know, the potter and the clay, well, the clay has no clue what God's after. And we can say, oh, well, I'm called to be an apostle, I'm called to be a prophet. Well, you tell me what an apostle is. You got James, John, Jude, Paul. Look at the variety of their expressions. You can't just have some generic label on what God has called you to be, because even those are mere expressions of the call that God has put in you. So it's the fundamental truth that we need to articulate to ourselves, that God, who has died for me, who has erased my transgressions against him, who has broke down the middle wall, that wall of separation between the horror of the condition of man and the pure holiness of God, that wall has been torn down through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a declaration we need to make with ourselves, because we have an enemy of us. What is he doing? You're not this, you're not that, you're a schlep, you're a whatever. And, you know, it says they overcame him. Who? This one who has set himself to determinedly, doggedly, intensely prevent you from becoming what God has called you to be. You have an enemy that is a spiritual being that is beyond your capacity to deal with. Until we recognize that, we don't comprehend the necessity of the redemptive process that God has called us to. So in this understanding of what righteousness is, it puts within us a pursuit of God. We don't say, oh, I'm the righteousness of God. That's why I had to learn the Greek, is because I couldn't comprehend all these Christians telling me, well, you're already the righteousness of God. Chill out, Brian. But there's something within my heart that says, I am not where I should be. I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out my innate necessity for the ongoing work of God. What does it say? God was in Christ reconciling everything within me that doesn't want to bow to God. Is that revelation that there's parts of my being that don't want reconciliation with God. So Paul says, we war a warfare, we bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. So there is this warfare that we are involved in, and faith holds my thought life to the purposes of God. Faith says, God's called you to be righteousness. And it isn't just the type of thoughts I have, but it also encompasses the motives of my heart. Ananias and Sapphira, they presented a false thing to God. They were born again. They were being moved by the Spirit to give. But there was a pretense that said, hey, we're going to keep back part of it. They didn't have to give the whole thing. There's no requirement of God for that. God, our gift to God is because of the willingness of our heart. But when we walk in pretense, that's the great sin. That's the great sin, is when we start walking in religious fiction. And we want to present ourselves as something other than what we are. So righteousness is a progressive work in God. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's correction, there's judgment, but no condemnation. And so within the divine relationship that we have with God, righteousness communicates to us the divine purpose. And as a child grows into its full expression, so are we in that process. So therefore, we don't take on condemnation. We take on an intensity to pursue God. For what does it say? For we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, were changed. All these things within me that I'm seeking change on, my answer isn't in trying harder. My answer is in pursuing the one that, as he finds the development of my heart growing into a certain place, God says, now I can reveal to him another aspect of my being. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When your motive for pursuing God is pure, he opens himself. And he says, this is one that isn't going to take my truth, my wonder, and make it something other than what it is. So we got a people that pursue holiness. They become proud. They become everything God isn't. Those that say, oh, I'm just the righteousness of God. I can't add to my salvation. I'm good. I'm just going to live in this world, die, and go to heaven. Well, they don't know what righteousness is. They don't know what the call to righteousness is. And so within the bounds of this thing called the gospel, it is to bring us to the place of understanding that righteousness for me is a personal apprehension of God. The gifts that he's given me, I have a responsibility to him to be trained in them, that I might make full use of them in my relationship to the body of Christ. As his righteousness is developed in me, it brings me to the place of righteously interacting with the people of God. So why do we exhort? Why do we rebuke? Why do we encourage? Because there's a love of God in each of us that looks at our brother and sister and says, my whole desire is for you to become all that he has called you to be. So we begin to comprehend, and that's why it says in Hebrews, which I think is the word of the Lord for today, it says, considering one another, how to provoke unto love and good works. Well, we consider, we step back, and you know, it's easy for me. I look at Jim, I step back in my time of prayer with God, and I consider and I go, how can I serve God in Jim's life? How can I encourage him? How can I consider him to see him go forth in the confidence of the tremendous gifts that God has put within him? So, but that consideration for Jim isn't the same as what it is for Tim, because I recognize that the righteousness of God has called each one of them to something totally unique. And it's my privilege in prayer to hold up the people of God that I might know his wisdom. Why do I do this? Because God has put within us the same motive as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. And our giving to one another will only be as deep, as powerful, and as committed as the motive that God moves in himself. So in the very aspect of his love moving in me produces the expression of God to one another. But it's a unique expression. It's not based on doctrine. It's not based on this or that. It's based on my coming to know each of God's people on a personal level. This thing called the body of Christ isn't a teaching. It's a relationship. And when I don't have an understanding of righteousness, then I don't have an understanding of what ministry is. And so what does Paul say? Paul sums up the whole purpose of his ministry, the whole purpose of his relationship with the church. He says that I might present every man perfect in Christ. So faith is the means, love is the motive, and righteousness is the goal. That is the summation of the gospel of God in Christ. And the more our faith allows God to pour himself into us, the greater will be the love in us to motivate us to be Christ to one another. And that being, that expression is as unique. God doesn't make replicas. God creates vessels of mercy that regardless, they so love God, they're so motivated in God to see each other come to their perfection, not our perfection, their perfection, that we humble ourselves before God and go, how can I serve you in relationship to your call on my brother over there? With the goal that they would become more powerful than you are. There's this selflessness in God. Jesus said, greater works will you do because I am going to the Father to make it so. And at first, that's an incomprehensible thing. It's still it'll always be an incomprehensible thing. But what Jesus is envisioning is not one man walking in the purity and the power and the fullness of God. He is envisioning a corporate body that can be in Africa, that can be in Egypt, that can be in even Canada. He's envisioning a pure, holy expression, and his purpose of going back to the Father was to make it so. The reason he went back to the Father as the intercessor, as the mediator, is to bring Jim to the fullness of all that God has purposed, to bring Tim, Angela, myself, Tim, my son, Linda. And there is a compulsion. Love is the impress of the motivation of God in you. And if we don't understand what righteousness is, then we will never. I understand this morning as I'm just spending time with the Lord, I realize without a concept of righteousness, my concept of love is polluted. You know, the world says love means never having to say you're sorry. Well, that's the farthest thing from what love is. Love is crushed. If I was walking in the fullness of love and I had a wrong thought of my brother or sister, it would crush me. And there is this power. There is a body that God says, you know, Jesus said, no man pours new wine into an old wineskin. We want God to pour himself into us. And God says, I can't pour myself into the old wineskin of religion. I can't pour myself into the into us on an individual level as well as a corporate level. The pouring forth of God is determined by our condition, not his desire. And once we get a concept of that, once we begin to realize that all of my lack is bound up in the condition of my heart. If I want to see the depths of God, he goes, you gotta walk in humility. You gotta have a pure heart where you don't want knowledge so you can win an argument with so and so over there, or that you lord it over someone else. He says, I gotta withhold from you because I'm a wise father and I pour into my children, I give my children what is necessary for them to develop into my righteousness. And when we begin to comprehend that, it shapes how we interact with people. When Jesus went into the temple and threw everybody out, we have no idea of the violence that he did there. Why? Because he says, zeal for my Father's house. What men make their own, they take the things of God and make their own. Well, righteousness in me is deeply troubled by that. And how that is expressed through each of us is part of his call to us. And when we fail to stand for truth, we've missed righteousness. When we fail to forgive our brother, when we fail to love one another to a point where we owe each other, we have a debt to share the truth of God with one another, then we're never going to know the righteousness of God. Paul says, I'm a debtor. I'm in debt to Christ. I bring nothing to the table like Ruth. She isn't bringing anything to the table, but she brought herself. And in bringing ourselves to him, God, whatever place of faith we are in, respond to the nudgings of God. Respond to his promptings, that the conduit is increased and he pours into you himself. And now you don't look around and go, oh, I want to be like so-and-so, because the love of God in you begins to produce himself, which it's going to take everything every one of us are to properly reveal him. And it's in each one of us developing that we become the means for the body of Christ to arise out of the ashes of where we are. And may God, I just pray this morning, I feel incapable of communicating this, but in the depth of understanding what righteousness is, produces in us the understanding that we are to become the righteousness of God. We are to grow into him who fills all things. And we live to see the fullness of God in each other. Every person I've ever met with, a lot of them don't want anything to do with me. I'm still committed to them. I don't have options, but I do make myself available for the wisdom of God. So the prodigal son, the father doesn't go over there and take a stick and beat his son, but the father of the prodigal son suffers in his absence. And there's people in each of your lives that don't want anything to do with you. There is a suffering that happens. Why? Because love is there. Love suffers long. If you don't have love, you don't have suffering. But love doesn't cut off another. It stands at the gates, looking and longing and seeking God. What can I do? How do you know? You pray that there'll be situations that come up that bring that son to himself. With love comes faithfulness. With love comes this inability to close the door. And we get weary and, like one prophet said, I'm done. Jeremiah says, you deceived me, God. You didn't tell me how bad this was going to be. He said, I'm not going to speak anymore concerning you. I'm done. I'm out of here. How many of us have felt that? I have felt that. I fight with that half the time. But the prophet continues and says, but his word was a fire in my being. And he continues on for another 20 chapters. So drink in and begin to feel that the call of righteousness. See, if we understand righteousness correctly, Paul says, I'm in the pursuit that I may apprehend that for which God apprehended me. Paul was still in the pursuit of God. Why? Because he hadn't fully apprehended all that God had apprehended him for. And so because Paul had the proper understanding of what righteousness is, it isn't some legal declaration. It isn't some lofty thing that God's called you to that's unachievable. He has sent his son into you. He has paid the price for your iniquity. He has abolished the wall between you and your God. And he has put a faith within you through which the very wonder of his nature, we are made partakers of the divine nature that we may escape the lusts of this world. Well, it's in the partaking of the divine nature that I find myself warring a good warfare, that I find myself concerned with the spiritual welfare of my brothers and sisters. It's in our partaking of his nature that we are bound by the love of God to encourage, rebuke, exhort, admonish. That's the reason God gave us the word. But it's that word which is born of the nature of Christ within us. And that's what makes this walk so exciting. When we properly see our need for one another, I just feel that this is what makes fellowship an essential element in this day.